It's the Yearbook Sportscast. I'm your host, Hingle McCringleberry. I distracted myself. Great. What are we supposed to say at this point? Well, the theme music should be playing after that open. Oh, it is, but duh, this is the theme music. No, if we're going to have a podcast, we're supposed to say, find this podcast wherever you find your podcasts, share with friends, family, and comment at saysintheyearbook@hotmail.com. Last month, Sports Illustrated ran a couple of stories, one in the magazine, one online, on what went wrong with the Alliance of American Football, the AAF, why it folded so quickly. And the stories were full of behind-the-scenes anecdotes, including the looting immediately after the AAF went under. Was that expected or not? The story mentions a full-time football coach on one of the teams just walking out of the headquarters with a 55-inch TV. And he wasn't the only one. It was going down all over the place. All kinds of looting, all kinds of items. Before the AAF went out of business, one franchise told its players to stop taking the expensive bottles of hot sauce from the dining area. So we tried the hot sauce that killed the AAF. Cholula, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. It wasn't expensive, but we only got the plain, and we got it at the dollar store, and we didn't have to buy gallons and gallons of hot sauce for 53 players. This is not an endorsement. We are not sponsored, and you shouldn't listen to us because we are not hot sauceologists. We've liked every hot sauce we've ever tried, and the Cholula pronunciation was good. It was better than good. Good enough to destroy a football league? That depends, and this means no disrespect to the many, many employees affected and all the people who moved for those jobs, only to have the AAF go under in just a few months and go over abruptly, where people were literally stuck in their hotel rooms or were stuck in a particular city and couldn't get back home. And the football was actually, the quality of the football was supposed to be pretty good. We just never got into any of the names. There has to be a team name or a color scheme that says, I'm your new favorite team. And that just wasn't there. So we would take the hot sauce over the AAF, even though Steve Spurrier was involved as a coach. And we like anything that Steve Spurrier is involved in. Are you interested in the Women's World Cup? We always are. Women's and men's, we can watch any World Cup match and any qualifying match between any two countries. Hello, Bermuda, which we would badly like to see qualify for the World Cup. And hello, Luxembourg, long in the shadow of Liechtenstein. When someone needs a nice, small country, very small country to talk about or throw in a commercial, the honor always goes to Liechtenstein instead of to the at least equally awesome and small Luxembourg. But now Luxembourg is qualifying way ahead of Liechtenstein for essentially Europe's World Cup, Euro 2020. Luxembourg's even ahead of Portugal, although Portugal has two games in hand in qualifying, so that probably won't last. The Women's World Cup, loaded with talented players who've had to make sacrifices to get there. There's the certified accountant. There's the aspiring firefighter, the player who deferred her master's work for soccer, the star who's won pro soccer championships on three different continents, the star who opted to play college soccer in the U.S., and thus she had to go 4 years without playing for her national team. There's the daughter of a national newscaster. And all those players were just on Scotland, a team that includes Lee Alexander, who does so much work in Scotland to promote the women's game. Her teammate, Joe Love, though, says Alexander is, if we have the slang right, we may have it wrong. I think Joe Love called Alexander a procrastinator. Love says, for example, that Alexander will be the last out of the locker room because she's painting her nails or something. Now, Lee Alexander is a goalie, so she wears gloves constantly and is always getting her fingers bashed around. So the next time it's winter and you say you're not painting your nails because no one will ever see them anyway, remember Lee Alexander, who's never seen it work without gloves on. Scotland, after all that, Scotland's out of the tournament after losing a 3-0 lead and getting only a 3-3 tie, which they could not use with Argentina. Now, after that game, okay, after which Jen Beatty, she's a player, Jen Beatty's father, who is a BBC newscaster and a former athlete himself, he opted to play it straight with his daughter in the aftermath of that game. After the game, he told Jen, the team blew it. Flat out. That's what he said. Is that what you would have said? And there's so much more going on. There's the Cameroon player who has the same mentality as every shooter at every level of basketball, even first grade basketball when they can't reach the hoop. If she's in a slump, she's going to shoot her way out of it, no matter what the science says. And awesomely, shoot she did at every opportunity in a late win against New Zealand. Sweden's star player already has a statue in her honor. She's the one soccer player whose statue actually looks like her, and she's the one soccer player who can actually successfully imitate her statue. Basically, the only difference between Kosovar Aslani pronunciation and the statue was the statue had a ball. Anyway, she's really good. Whether baseball free agency is broken or not is not 100% clear yet. Teams now have so much data on players, they're able to put together world champion rosters without many or any stars. Rosters that win using over-the-top tactics, like middle relievers starting games, and teams literally giving up on blowout games and not even trying to rally. They just save it all for the next game. The stats say the most efficient way to play baseball now is to play it the complete opposite than it had been played forever, and play it without really good players, and fringe players 30 or over. But whether free agency is broken seems almost 100% clear. While the new game is a system that wins at baseball, baseball also appears to be gaming the system. Five MLB teams are worth at least $3 billion. Those franchises are worth at least $3 billion each. Not impressed? The Marlins, who you might guess are the least valuable major league team, the Marlins are worth $1 billion. Owners have so much money, they can't spend it all. But team payrolls are down, and even good players are forced to take below market deals or just can't find work. The players who are working are young players and even younger minor leaguers, read cheap Laborville. But if going with young guys is just a better way to win, if it's only the most efficient way to win, then how come MLB still won't pay minor leaguers minimum wage? And how come teams still keep major league ready minor leaguers in the minors to avoid having the clock start ticking toward that player's free agency? And how come about a third of the league is thought to be tanking, read not paying anyone well, not even trying to win? See, now this is free agency broken argument seems a lot more settled. There's definitely statistical innovation at work, but that innovation appears to also be being used as an excuse to hoard money. And this is terrible for the fans, whether because the offseason is boring or, more importantly, because your favorite team has conceded the season before it even starts, and they're going to keep conceding seasons the way it looks right now whenever the going gets tough. It's way early, but so far, all of this efficiency has not yet produced a small market champion. Now, five teams, the Brewers, Indians, Twins, and Rays, and to a lesser extent, the Braves, are in the running to change that this season. We mentioned the fans. It's also terrible for the players, who won't ever make what they're actually worth while playing baseball. And why on earth would MLB owners ever want to change the system to help the players? Well, if MLB doesn't want to now, they should. Baseball needs superstars to propel its broadcasts, its commercials, its draft, and its offseason, and baseball admits that. But at this moment, all they're producing is players with short careers on purpose. And who knows if, for a few anyway, skimping on salaries will convince athletes to just play something else. Now, I wouldn't say hoarding money has made Major League Baseball worse, because I thought it was already in pretty bad shape. While other leagues embraced parity, baseball talked about parity, but never actually put it into practice. Teams are allegedly tanking now, yes, but for the last 25 years, most of the league was seriously out of contention in spring training anyway. Remember when small market or low revenue or low interest teams, whatever you want to call them, remember when they were in the running for big free agents? Remember when Oakland had the league's highest payroll in 1991. Remember when the Pirates, the Reds, Expos, Blue Jays, Padres, Athletics, and Twins were all contenders at the same time? Even if you don't remember, that actually happened, and those days aren't gone, maybe, but they haven't existed since the early 90s. Since then, just two teams, since the early 90s, only two teams, the 2003 Marlins and the 2015 Royals, have truly been surprise champions. Meanwhile, over at the NBA, they have the most fun offseason of any sport right now, and true offseasons don't necessarily win championships, but the NBA just had the surprise champion, the Raptors, that baseball badly needs.